straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 297, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our good friends at Bud Light. I'm Cedric Golden, and we've had some technical issues, so Kirk Bowles will be joining us later, but, you know, we still got to keep the train moving. So honored to welcome Matt Miller from ESPN joining us. He's a big-time draft analyst, just did his third draft for the Mouse, and he's been on Get Up, he's been on SportsCenter, and he's been on my favorite NFL Live with Swagoo, Mina Kimes. Those guys are so funny. That's must-see TV. Matt, how are you today, man?
Cedric, I'm doing well. As I was telling you, as a gigantic Texas Longhorn fan, I'm very honored to be on with you guys. So, I'm sad I didn't get to talk to Kirk, but I know we'll have opportunities down the road.
So how did you get this connection with the Longhorns? You're from Missouri, so where did that happen?
Right. Yeah, Cedric, growing up in the 90s, late 90s in Missouri, Mizzou football was not on television. You know, the ABC ESPN games on Saturdays were not the University of Missouri. They were the University of Texas. You know, it was back in the end of the Big Eight conferences when I was growing up. And so you had, you know, Major Applewhite, Ricky Williams. And, you know, my parents are fantastic. They are not sports fans. And so I didn't inherit a team from my dad. Now, my mom is from, you know, the Ann Arbor, you know, Detroit area.
Nice.
And so when I was like little, we watched a lot of Michigan football because that's who my uncles watched, things like that. But as soon as I was old enough to kind of make a decision on my own, my younger brother and I just like, man, Ricky Williams is something special. I've never seen a guy like that before. So before you know it, that's what's on TV every Saturday. You've got the Ricky Williams era that kind of bleeds into, you know, Major and Chris Sims. So I got to work with the Bleacher Report, and then here comes Vince Young. So it was very, very easy to stay a Texas fan through those years, despite not living. I mean, I live 6 hours from Dallas, so not even anywhere close to Austin, but it's something that stuck. And now my kids are Texas fans, and it's kind of funny how it works.
So have you ever come to a game here? Have you ever been to DK?
Oh yeah, I was at the Alabama game, man. Yeah, I went to two games last
wow.
year. I was sweating my tail off in the stands. I like to go as a fan, not as a reporter. I don't want to go press boxes are fun, but I like to have fun, and I like to hit Bevo Boulevard. And so went to two games this past year. Was it Southeast Louisiana was the opener, and then the Alabama game. Got to enjoy DKR a little bit, and what a great the Alabama game was, like, heartbreaking, but it was also, you know, you ever left the game and you're like, gosh, they shouldn't have even been in that game, and they almost won it. So you can't even be that upset for that long, but also for what I do professionally, a great game to evaluate some prospects as well.
Well, man, I'm going to tell you, you didn't miss anything in the press box. It was 70 degrees up there, and the breakfast tacos were way too hot. I mean, they were steaming. So you didn't really miss anything. You had it in the 95 degree weather with the cold suds and all of that. So it's great to hear that you're a Texas fan, because I wanted to ask you about the Texas Longhorns that went in the draft. Kirk and I have written a lot about Bijan Robinson, and those mocks had him anywhere from 6 all the way to 28. I saw one of yours, you had him going 21st, I think, to the Chargers. Austin Eckler, know that, you know, you can look around. Goes 8th to the Atlanta Falcons. You know, you mentioned you're a Ricky Williams fan. That was workhorse football back in then. I grew up with Earl Campbell, workhorse football, Walter Payton. Those guys got 25, 30 carries in a game. Is it set up for Bijan? And I know the game is played differently now, so I'm not talking about carries. I'm going to talk about touches. Is it set up for him in Atlanta where he can get 25 touches in a game?
I think so. I love the fit there, because Atlanta's head coach, Arthur Smith, was the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. And Derrick Henry was getting 25 touches a game.
And he's the only he was getting
20 runs and maybe
yes.
five swing passes. Exactly. Yeah. So and Bijan is obviously different than Derrick Henry, but similar in that regard of the contact balance is fantastic. They don't open themselves up to big hits. I don't think I've ever seen Bijan really get rocked by a defender. He the low center of gravity. He's got thick lower body. So, like, tacklers tend to bounce off of that frame, which I think works well for this. But I think in the NFL today, there are a few teams that would say, we're going to give you the ball 20 to 25 times a game, a mixture of runs and catches. Atlanta's one of those spots. And I point to last year, Tyler Allgeier, the fifth-round draft pick. He rushed for over 1,000 yards, but he only caught 16 passes. So I think we're going to see Bijan, you know, have a big opportunity, not just a runner, but as a receiver out of the backfield or flexed out into the slot to get a ton of touches and a ton of production, especially you got a rookie quarter or not a rookie, excuse me, a second year quarterback who played four games last year in Desmond Ridder. So you want to take some pressure off of him. A great running back's the perfect way to do that.
You know, you look at it and I was and I talked to Bijan at Pro Timing Day and before he went to the combine, he really thought he was going to the Eagles. He really believed that the Eagles were going to take it. And my thing is this, and you cover this thing and I'm a poker player, and the worst thing you can do at a poker table is tell people what your hand is. He was spending so much time up there in that facility in Philly, hanging out with Howie Roseman, and it was obvious that the Eagles weren't going to take him. It was too loud. Why would you have him up there so much if you're going to take him? Atlanta, I think I had him for one visit. But I think they knew the whole time that they were going to take Bijan Robinson. So it's a great fit for him. We wanted him in Philly. Cowboy fans didn't, but we wanted him in Philly because we wanted to be able to go see him once a year at Jerry World and write about his career as it went along. But great, great, great landing spot for Bijan. You're a Texas fan, so you undoubtedly remember the 2005 draft when the Chicago Bears took Cedric Benson in the top.
Absolutely.
Five. I think he was fourth overall and didn't work out for the late, great Sid B. But here we are almost 20 years later, and they dipped their toe back into the Longhorn pool. Fourth-round pick, Roschon Johnson, a do-it-all type, the unquestioned leader in the locker room here. And a guy who's going to play all positions, special teams, you name it. Were you surprised that he went in the fourth round, or were his optics what led the Chicago Bears to grab him with that pick?
Yeah, I thought he could have gone anywhere between the third and the fifth round, and a lot of it was dependent upon if there was going to be a run on running backs earlier in the draft. You know, obviously Bijan goes 8, Jahmyr Gibbs goes 12, but then we've got a little bit of a wait, you know, for the next guy to come off the board. We saw a couple go in the second round, but I think it's a really good fit for Roschon. Oddly enough, they have another Longhorn there, Deontay Foreman. So we're going to have a little bit of a Longhorn backfield going on in Chicago. I love Roschon. His story is phenomenal. And I know your listeners will know it better than I do even, you know, but coming in as a top 3 dual threat quarterback in high school, dreaming of playing for the Longhorns, and gets bumped to running back, you know, 2 weeks before the season begins. And the way that he carried himself through a position change, but then also a position change, but then you're immediately backing up one of the greatest high school running back prospects of all time, Bijan. And the grace that he handled that with, and the fact that the selflessness of saying, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to help this team win. Whether that was playing special teams, like you mentioned, being a short yardage running back where you're just taking hits, whatever that meant, he was willing to do it. And I've talked to some people in Chicago since the draft, and they're excited. You know, they see Roschon as somebody that could be a starting running back in the NFL because he is a power back with vision and hands. And I know breakaway speed is not his thing, but look what Damian Pierce did for the Houston Texans last year. I think Roschon could be a very similar type back. Yeah,
I think so too. And he was the guy that would get in everybody's face in the locker room. I mean, Bijan led by example. Roschon's like, oh, no. If there were towels laying around the locker room, he would find out who did that, and he'd go make them pick those towels up. He was that guy. He was a detailed guy and wore it on his sleeve. And I just think that's a great pick, you know, great value pick in the fourth round.
Move
up around third round, Agent Zero to Marvion Overshawn to the Dallas Cowboys at linebacker. Has some pass rush upside, maybe, but he's a converted safety who's only been playing the position for about 2 years. What do you think about that pick in the third round
tonight? Yeah, I was a little surprised. Yeah, I think he went 90 overall. A little bit surprised, but the buzz on Overshown started at the Senior Bowl. You know, it was like the third day of the Senior Bowl. People started to say, hey, what's up with this Texas linebacker? And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of potential there. And I think even Texas fans would say there were times, there were games where he was dominant and he flashed that ability. Then there might be times where he'd be quiet for a little bit.
He disappeared.
Right. I mean, and so it's about that, getting that consistency, you know, is going to be key for him as he moves forward. He's going to get stronger. Dallas will do that. You know, he's a young man. They're going to put bulk on him. They're going to put strength on him. He could now play football full time and not have to worry about anything else. I think that's going to benefit him a lot, but they need this. You know, Leighton Vander Esch is, you know, because of injury, has not really fulfilled his potential. So now you have someone behind that. And when you want to put Micah Parsons on the edge, you're not losing any athleticism now when you bring in a linebacker. And I think that's really key for this team. You know, they've tried, you know, guys like Jalen Smith. This is a similar, I think, athletic profile. But as you mentioned, that move from safety to linebacker is huge in the NFL right now, because when teams are going to 5 and 6 DBs, you need a linebacker, that can play in space and has range. And he definitely has a ton of that.
You know what? And I look at it, and I'm older than you, but I look at how linebackers used to look. I mean, you know, Brian Urlacher, they were big guys. LeVar Kirkland, Kevin Green, those were big 255-pound linebackers who were plugging holes and tackling running backs and occasionally guarding a tight end coming across the middle.
Yeah.
I'm asking these guys to chase now. And the linebackers now are sleeker and faster. DeMarvion Overshaw, Michael Parsons. Those guys are a lot smaller than they were. What do you think the position's arc has been over these last 10 years? And is he the kind of linebacker that you'll see getting taken in these drafts because of their ability to chase and cover these really fast running backs out of the backfield?
I think so. And it's kind of interesting. It goes back to our earlier conversation about Bijan and Roshan, of these 220-pound running backs that are just like sledgehammers. And now we have linebackers that are 215 pounds, you know? So now I still catch myself, because I've been doing this since 2011. And I still catch myself saying, oh, that's an undersized linebacker. And he's like 6'2", 230. Like, no, that's a big linebacker now. Like, that's no longer undersized. Yeah. That's a middle linebacker these days. So it is funny, like you said, the arc of linebackers are getting a little bit smaller, but they're getting so much more athletic. It's almost like guys like DeMarvion, where it's, you were a safety and you're maybe just a little tall or a little stiff to play safety. It's like, hey, do you want to gain 15 pounds and play linebacker? I'll never forget talking to Eric Winston, who was played at the University of Miami back in the 2000s.
He was a tight end in high school.
Yeah, he was a tight end. And they said, you know, you're behind. These tight ends are going to be first-round draft picks. So you can either be a backup tight end at Miami, and you'll get drafted, and you'll play special teams in the NFL, and you'll have a nice career. Or you can eat anything you want, gain 30 pounds, be an offensive tackle, and maybe be a first-round draft pick. And he said, it's the easiest decision he ever made. He's like, I'm going to eat, and I'm going to lift, and I'm going to play tackle. And it obviously worked very well for Eric, who's, you know, great for the Houston Texans. But it's funny now, because now, you know, I talk to players all the time, and they say, you know, what do I need to get better at? And you'll say things like, you know, well, you're a little stiff. You know, you're starting to outgrow your position a little bit. And sometimes a position change like this is the best thing for them. But linebackers keep getting faster. Tight ends keep getting faster. It's wild. And even this past draft class is one of the fastest I've ever evaluated. So it doesn't seem to be changing anytime soon.
You imagine Eric Winston and Cedric Benson on the same football team in high school?
Eric has told me those stories about just how they were unstoppable. Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
I got here in 99, and in 2000, they played Midland Lee. That was their team. They played Westlake in the state championship game, and it was at DKR, and the Texas basketball team was like top 10 at the time, and they were playing a conference game, and there were like 4,000 people showed up to the basketball game. and like 35 or 40,000 showed up to the football game. Rick Barnes, the basketball coach, yeah. was not happy. Eric Winston was a tight end, and they threw it to him, and he had people just hanging off of him. It was a game with three eventual professional athletes on it. The Westlake Chaparrals had a 5'11", 170-pound.
Drew Brees.
No, he was gone by
then. No, not Drew Brees.
No, okay, Houston Street.
Oh, yeah.
Who had over 200 saves in the majors, was the safety in our defensive player of the year. And him and Cedric Benson, near the end of the first half, was a 4th-and-1. And Cedric Benson was a hammer. Cedric Benson had 5 touchdowns in each of 3 state championship games. 3 state championship games, 15 touchdowns.
Wild.
And he ran behind Eric Winston. Eric Winston was, was a tight end playing left tackle. He was just lined up at tight end. And so it was 4th-and-1 near midfield. And, of course, they go for it. They've got Cedric Benson. And Cedric Benson and Houston Street meet. Boom, helmet to helmet. Boom. Cedric Benson goes backwards for the first time in his high school career. Houston Street stopped him, giving up 30 pounds to Ced Benson, and he stopped him. And the Westlake kids are going nuts, and they're slapping Houston on the back and going, "Dude, you stopped him. You stopped Cedric Benson." And Houston's on the bench, and he looks at one of his teammates, and he goes, "When does the game start?"
Oh, no.
Totally out on his feet. Totally out. And so 2 weeks.
Do you think that's when he decided to play baseball?
I'm getting like
that moment.
Yes. So 2 weeks after that, he comes in for All Central Texas. We take photos and stuff. He said he was still sore. He had 20 tackles in the game. That spring, Cedric Benson was a minor league baseball prospect. And I think it was the Dodgers. Somebody was paying for his college. He was not on scholarship. He's over at Dish Falk Field, and he's taking BP. And Houston Street walks up. He goes, "Houston Street." He goes, "We can go finish what we started." You know, he goes, we got football practice here. He goes, "You're a college football player. No, don't let anyone tell you can't play college football." Houston tells me, he goes, "I floated on air on the way home. I was so excited. I told my dad, I'm going to be a 2-sport athlete. I'm going to play for the Longhorns. They said that they'd let me walk on." His dad goes, "Your football playing days are over, Houston. We're going to play baseball." There are a lot of guys, a lot of guys like Cedric Benson, and you don't need to be running into those guys every weekend. So that was the end.
That's a great story, though.
As a football player. Yeah. Just a great two really good guys. Me and Cedric Benson were never on the same page. We had our moment. He was a different cat. We had the same name. That's about all we had in common. Two black dudes with the same name, different tax brackets. You know, he had money. I did.
Yeah.
But real quick, 2 more guys went. Keandre Colburn, a couple of tackles. Keandre Colburn, 6th round to Kansas City, and Moro Ojomo, 7th round to Philly. Yeah. What do you think about their chances of making the club?
I will say this, Colburn has a great opportunity. The Chiefs have lost a lot at defensive tackle. Colin Saunders goes to the New Orleans Saints. This was like it flew under the radar last year. Late in the year, the Chiefs signed a defensive tackle named Brandon Williams, who's a nose tackle, had 9 years with the Baltimore Ravens, comes out of retirement, plays nose tackle for the Chiefs. Well, he's back in retirement. He got his ring. He's back in retirement. He's fishing every day now. So they have a need for a nose tackle. They really do. They brought back Derek Nnadi, but there's a need for a nose tackle. And so I think Colburn has a great shot to make it. Ojomo, a very good player. Had a great year in 2022. I think bit of a steeper climb to make that team just because how deep Philly is on their defensive line. But they love defensive linemen in Philadelphia. They're going to carry more linemen on their active roster than any team in the NFL. So he's definitely got a shot there.
And you know what? Practice squad guys make a lot of money. So if you don't you can still make it. A couple hundred thousand a year. I'd leave in the middle of this segment to go be on somebody's practice squad, Matt. I would. Leave right now. Okay. So Kirk was at the Cowboys, and Mazie Smith, okay. That didn't really move a needle. That filled a need for them. I was in Houston, and the Texans, they blew this thing up. Before Philadelphia basically cemented their reputation as a team to beat now, or besides the Chiefs, Philly's going back to Super Bowl. They added 2 stars. I mean, Howie Roseman, I bow at your altar, sir. You are great at what you do. And barring injury, the Eagles will be right back there. I do want to talk about the Texans, though, pulling that move, getting the quarterback they so desperately needed, and trading up to get Will Anderson. They still have a lot of holes, Matt, but people in Houston have to be excited for what Nick Caserio pulled off in that draft.
Oh, absolutely. It was the debate for weeks was, do you take Will Anderson, who I had reported they had a perfect grade on, you know, like whatever your grading scale is, say it's a 1 through 10, they had a 10 grade on Will Anderson. The debate is, do you take the perfect defender or the quarterback who dominated 2 years of college football? And they said, let's just do both, which has really not happened before. And and a lot of people are critical said of like, oh, they traded so much to get Will Anderson. Stop that. They traded to make sure they could get both players, right? Yes. Like, look at the trade. It's like you locked in two great players and they're foundational. They're building blocks. We were talking about how great of a person Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson are. Will Anderson's cut from the same cloth. Nick Saban has done nothing but speak highly about him as a leader, high character guy, an effort player, and someone that can come in Houston and be that face of the defense. And they have – I don't think the Texans roster is as bad. Like you said, there are a lot of holes. You are absolutely right. You know, like, you've got some building blocks on the offensive line. Laramie Tunsil is the best left tackle in the game still, in my opinion. He is. You got a really good secondary. You know, they drafted Derek Stingley Jr. last year, Jalen Petrie. We talked about Damian Pierce a little bit. Like, they have some pieces that if Stroud and Anderson play to their potential, in an AFC South that's wide open right now, I don't know that they're going to be as bad as maybe we expect coming off how ugly last year was.
So who won the draft besides the Eagles and the Houston Texans? Who were you impressed with the most besides those two?
I'll throw Seattle. Yeah, Seattle did a great job. They got my number one corner in Devin Witherspoon at pick 5. At pick 20, they got my top wide receiver in Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's a Texas guy himself. So just another good draft. Seattle, they got 4 or 5 starters out of the 2022 draft. They've got an opportunity to get several more out of this year's draft. So, again, in a division that's wide open, the Rams are down. The Cardinals are awful. The 49ers don't know who their quarterback is. So I look at Seattle as they took this opportunity. Instead of drafting a quarterback of the future in the first round, they said, hey, we're rolling with Geno Smith. We've got a starter. Let's try to build this roster so we can get some division titles under our belt, get some playoff appearances back in Seattle, and try to take that step ahead as opposed to, well, let's use a top 5 pick on a quarterback who's not going to play for 2 years.
Oh yeah.
They said, no, we're going to use these picks to try to win this division.
I love it, man. I love it. Before I let you go, Kirk and I usually do this thing with first-time guests called Hot Corner, where we ask like 3 or 4 random questions, not always about sports, and you just give a quick answer. Don't have to expound on it or anything. So people know you, because we're going to have you back on this podcast, and we promise next time Kirk Bowles will be able to find audio on his feed. If you weren't doing what you do now, what would Matt Miller be doing for a living? If you weren't a...
I would be a history... I'd be a history professor.
Wow. Wow. Are you a World War II buff? Because I am.
I am. Yeah. There might be one of the books behind me. Yeah. Huge World War II guy. I'm obsessed with presidential biographies. That's what I'll do this summer, is get caught up on reading some books. So I would 1,000% be teaching history at some small school somewhere.
That's awesome. If you're hosting movie night at your house, are you married, Matt?
I am. Yes, sir.
If the Millers are hosting movie night with their two favorite couples at their house, what two movies are you showing?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. My all-time favorite movie, The Shawshank Redemption.
Stop so, it. Get out of here.
Get that one out there. No,
that's my favorite movie of all time. And we always...
There we go. Look at that.
10 guests have said Shawshank Redemption. I mean, 10.
It's great. It's the
most beautifully told story.
Yes, I agree. And I'm a huge, we're going off the radar or off the rails here. Count of Monte Cristo is one of my favorite books ever. So like the parallels there, I absolutely love that. But that movie is kind of a sad movie. So at points, I would say you got to like balance that with a comedy. So I would go with something like Old School or Step Brothers, you know, to try to get the mood back up. Yep.
You're my brother. This is stupid.
Right.
No, this is ridiculous. I would show Shawshank Redemption and either Old School or Wedding Crashers. That is because you have to
love Wedding Crashers.
You need levity after you
exactly
after they Morgan Freeman and God, what's his name?
Andy Dufresne,
the guy who played him. Tim Robbins.
Was it Tim? Tim Robbins.
You got to have some laughs after that. All right, one more.
Absolutely.
Celebrity crush.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm always terrible at that. Celebrity crush. Yep. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to have to clip this and show my wife. My wife looks a lot like Olivia Munn. I always tell her that. Wow. It's like, if someone was going to play you in a movie, that's who it would be. My wife's a shorter version. So I'll say that. If I can't pick my wife, I'll take Olivia Munn.
That works all day long. Man, it's been a pleasure. Hey, where can these people find you on Twitter because they need to follow you?
Yeah, on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout, and that's actually across all social media. So if you're not a Twitter user, you can find me on Instagram as well.
You have a blue check mark, Matt?
I used to. I don't anymore. I'm cheap, man.
That's $8 a month that's going to stay in my pocket, brother. I can't go there. But
yeah,
man,
it's like 15 Bush Lights. So, Elon.
That's a lot.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're always repping Missouri. Bush is very Missouri. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, it is.
That is awesome. Of course, when you're down here, we'll have to drink a Shiner. Just to
I love Shiner. All about that. Listen,
and if you're back in this area, I'll DM you my text you my number or whatever. But we need to get together. Because if you're going to be in the stands, we'll definitely need to get together on a Friday because we definitely won't see you on Saturday.
Yeah. right. I try to make it down for a better weather game this upcoming season, but I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, man, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining the show. And
likewise.
We'll definitely get you back sometime during the season. And be well, my friend. We appreciate you.
All right. Thanks so much, Cedric.
Thanks, man.
On Second Thought.
Big thanks to Matt Miller of ESPN for joining us. And oh my God, the wonders of technology. We got Kirk Bowles in on audio. Kirk, you owe our 4,700 listeners an engraved apology and an explanation. What the hell happened?
You look for my engraver set. It's like, I don't know. It's just high tech and me don't always agree. And I couldn't hear y'all. You can hear me. But yes. I couldn't hear y'all, and that's everybody's worst nightmare, that you could hear me. So
yeah, exactly.
And then, so now we fix it by me rebooting, which is always the answer. If all things fail, just reboot and start over.
Well, real quick review. Bijan Robinson is going to be great. Roschon Johnson is going to be really good. Keandre Colburn's going to play right away in Kansas City. Not sure about Moro Ojimo and DeMarvion Overshawn, if he can – show up on every play and have that motor with Micah Parsons, who's working out in Austin, Duck. And really? I don't know where, but he's working out in Austin right now.
When's he on the podcast?
Micah on the podcast. If they can combine to, that might be the fastest linebacker core in the NFL. So
he'll be a blur. I like what he said. Yeah, I wrote DeMarvion a hell of a value pick in this draft.
I think so.
He's got speed. You can't coach speed. So
Shout out to Alexis Babineau, his girlfriend, the mother of his young son DJ, keeping DeMarvion happy and prosperous in the team with the team that he grew up watching, the Dallas Cowboys. Isn't that great? And you know what, Deuce Vaughn, Duck, what a story that was. To watch Chris Vaughn, the director of collegiate scouting for the Cowboys, tearfully calling his son and going, do you want to come to work with me next week, son?
It's a Hollywood script. It's not supposed to work that way. But, you know,
he can really help him.
That's the draft. That's the beauty of the draft. And then you have Will Levis waiting till round two, you know, and just, you know, groaning and just a nightmare. But well, I think I saw something they showed him, I don't know, 37 times, 29 times.
The girlfriend looked more upset than Will.
Yeah.
He was not happy. She was not happy.
She didn't dump him, though, did she?
No, she didn't. But she was like, you know, I just saw that look on her face. Like, hey, I didn't sign up for no second round stuff.
You know, the other thing, too, is that I keep reading, and oh, the best value was Will Levis. And it's like, oh, my God. A great pickup. Then, if it's such a great value, why didn't he go like top 15? Come on.
Bijan Robinson was a great value. Great pick that was being kind of overlooked because of his position in the Atlanta Falcons.
And Detroit got panned. Detroit take Jahmyr Gibbs. Why don't you move all the way up and get Bijan?
Maybe they knew they could get Jahmyr Gibbs, and they just unloaded DeAndre Swift. So
They did. Would you rather have Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson?
Well, Jahmyr played better when they faced each other, but give me Bijan.
All right. I'm gonna have to check you on that.
No, you can't check. You're not gonna check me on that.
He didn't. Matt didn't tell you who's gonna bomb, did you? He didn't give you any bust. Like
that's a Kirk Bowles question.
That is.
But he did say he would be back. In Austin. Maybe we see him in Tuscaloosa. Did you book your flight already?
No, I'm not yet. But I wonder. We may send somebody early. You know, Roz and I used to go early to Penn State. Or
who else? Roz? Those people don't know Roz. Who's that?
Mark Rosner, our colleague.
We know him, but a lot of our listeners don't. Let's get his name right, because he's right now he's on a treadmill somewhere, fighting a bad back and putting in an hour on a treadmill so he can stay looking like a guy half his age. So
Did you book your flight?
No, I have not. I didn't get permission yet, Doug. We need to find out if we're both going to that. And you know,
well, he told me to book, and I said, my bro's going, right? And he says, that's the plan. So you need to strike while the iron is hot, and we need to get that done.
We'll book together.
Okay. Sounds good. Right. Let's talk to baseball.
UT baseball. Are they back, Doug? Are they back? I'm going to tell you. The Sunday game was just abysmal. Now, LeBaron Johnson, if we can get that LeBaron on a consistent basis and Tanner Witt's back, then all of a sudden they got a little something with Lewis Gordon. Then they got a little something, but
that Tanner Witt's not back. Okay, let's start there. Okay, LeBaron is, and he's had a couple really, really good outings. And like I wrote last week, man, you should start Lucas Gordon, LBJ, and then maybe Ace Whitehead. And I don't know if it matters. You're going to piecemeal that third game.
What about Zane? I'm not big on Zane Morehouse this year. He's walking a lot of guys.
He really is. Well, I mean, who started game two? Was it Burke? It went like two innings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what? Start LBJ. Okay. I think he's their second best pitcher right now. So, you know, when I talked to David Pierce on Tuesday, I said, your same plan, Tanner Witt, start game three, maybe throw two innings, maybe. He said, well, we need to see how his arm responds. But I'll say this, they did win the series on the road. This isn't a great TCU team,
mm-mm,
but they did what they had to do. But West Virginia, a runaway train, they swept Baylor on the road. And they've now won eight in a row. You know, they're 11-4.
Oklahoma State's 11-7. Kansas State's 11-7. And then your Texas Longhorns are 10-8. Three games set at Kansas, which is 6-12. Very winnable series.
Extremely
winnable series. Kansas has lost two in a row. They are 21-24. But I will say this, Duck, and I know you'll agree, better teams than this Texas team have gone to Lawrence and got it handed to them.
Right. Well, talk about their pitching. Their pitching, it's not in shambles. We're not going to go there. But they don't have proven guys behind Lucas Gordon. They really don't. And they're at the point where you got to sweep somebody. And Kansas is right above Baylor out of the cellar. And like you said, they're only 9-6 at home all year.
They're sweepable.
You got to go in and sweep, because West Virginia hosts Oklahoma, hosts Texas Tech, and then comes here to Texas. And if you want that to be a meaningful series in Austin, you better take care of business, sweep Kansas, and hope West Virginia loses a couple these next two weekends.
Doug, why has Kansas only played 15 home games? What is that about? Is that because of the West?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just the weather. You know, they come down. I haven't looked at their overall schedule, but, you know, a lot of the teams, they're not north, but even the Midwest teams, you got to go on the road a lot to find games, or you could have a lot of them, you know, canceled because of weather. But
yeah, West Virginia's had 17 home games. Yeah. Oklahoma State's had 15. K-State, 22. Texas, wait. Let me get that right. Those are away games. West Virginia's had 17 home games. Oklahoma State, 26. K-State, 21. Texas, 29. Texas Tech, 30.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, 24. TCU, 25. Kansas, 15. Mm-hmm. And the Baylor Bears have had 30 home games.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
You know, and David Pierce tinkered with the lineup a little bit, put Jared Thomas, the freshman first sacker, as lead off. You know, he got a couple.
He moved DK to seven hole, didn't he?
He moved DK, and, you know, EK, you know, went 0-for-3 in game two, had a couple of home runs in one of the other games, but he's struggling a little bit. Peyton Powell is my guy. He's paid his dues. He's come on. He was 7-14 with four ribbies against TCU. And so
still has a hitting streak, right? 22, is it?
I think he did.
He got a late hit on Sunday.
I think he got one hit in every game. And you know, they had that crucial double play, or, you know, they might have lost the series right there. So they don't have much room for error. It's a very small margin, but
gun to your head, are they gonna host a regional?
I don't think there's any way, because I don't think they're going to win the league. They might not even finish second, might not even finish third, and they're not going to reward the third place team. I think you've got to finish first or second to have a chance, and you maybe have to either win the Big 12 tournament or finish second in that.
They don't look like they're built to win the Big 12 tournament. They don't have enough starting pitching, in my opinion. They'd have to really catch fire offensively. And I like the fight. They were way down Sunday, and they came back, and they were with a couple of hits away from making things really interesting. But they did give up, 15 runs, Duck? I mean,
yeah, 15-7. So, D1 baseball has them going to Arkansas and as number two seed. That, you know,
you really want to go to Bomb Stadium, and that thing is going to be rocking. That is a beautiful stadium. Duck, when we went to cover Arkansas at Texas at Arkansas football in 2004, I believe, I remember they sent me down early to write about the rivalry. I went down like on a Thursday and did some early stuff. I took a tour of Baum Stadium. Beautiful stadium.
They love their baseball.
Oh, man, I really look forward, hopefully, to the day that we could maybe go to a couple of SEC series, just because it's first time. Never been to the Box, never been to Baton Rouge. I think that would be fun. But Baum Stadium is a beautiful, beautiful facility.
Yeah. And like you say, it's a lot like Dish Park. They fill it up, and it is loud.
But, you know, none of the teams in the state of Texas are in really good position to do any hosting. Texas A&M is out of the hosting position right now. Their RPI is not very good. So this might be the first tournament in a long time, Duck. I haven't looked at, I don't know what DBU is up to, because they always seem to sneak in there. But as far as like Power Five, this might be the first time that none of these teams host.
Maybe ever. I think DBU is listed as a host seed.
They are? Okay.
But that's it, which is problematic, because one reason, if you host, because there's so many teams, you know, clustered in Texas and the Southeast, and
you might get a Texas coming back. Remember, Texas went in there and got surprised. You know, were you when they had the helicopter drawing off the field?
Oh yeah, I was there.
You're at that one, and so
that's a heck of a program. That's a really a good program. So anyway, but getting down to it, we're in May now, and running out of sports to cover. Tennis is playing men and women in the NCAA first two rounds at the Texas Tennis Center. I'm going to try to go out Saturday or Sunday and catch some of that net action. I know the softball team, Texas hosts Baylor and then goes to Waco for a couple, right?
Yeah, baseball is at Kansas, all three, 6 o'clock Friday, 2 o'clock Saturday, 1 o'clock Sunday. Softball hosts Baylor, 6 o'clock Friday, 6 o'clock Saturday. in Waco, 1 o'clock Sunday in Waco. Yes. Yeah. Right. And yeah. And you know, in about 3 weeks, they're going to get the track NCAAs coming in, and then the baseball, the NCAA baseball will start. Hopefully Longhorns don't go too far away, you know, but if they're not going somewhere in Texas, they may, if they don't send them to Dallas, they could go to Arkansas. They could go to, ooh, you don't want to go to LSU.
You don't want to go there.
Don't want to go to LSU.
Absolutely not.
Besides the NBA, man, there's not a whole lot of sports going on. I know you love MLB for all the wrong reasons, Doug. All the wrong reasons. It's all about fantasy league.
It's a better game. It's all about fantasy league. It's not all about fantasy.
It is all about fantasy league baseball with you. And I'm never.
About Yankees, too.
Yeah, you're Yankees. Yeah, you and the rest of the world. So,
like last place in the East, too.
Yeah, so it's been that and episodes of Secession. I'm sure people are out there watching Secession. They're so dysfunctionally brutal. I don't know that I like anybody on that show. Who do I what?
Who could you like? Maybe Jerry? Maybe Greg?
I like Jerry. I hate Greg. I hate Greg because he's a TIT is what he is. He's a Tom in training. That's what he is. He has mastered the art of smarminess. He's just a more likable version of Tom. And he's still Tom's little puppet, too. So
Did you see Sunday's show?
Of course I did. I never miss it.
How about Roman firing everybody he had a scene with? Fired Joy, fired Jerry.
Fired Jerry. And then almost fired Carl.
That was a good scene.
Right before his big presentation. They're about, because Carl told him, hey, you mess with me on this. You know, I think he was thinking, he knows about Kendall killing his role in that kid's death in Europe. And I think that's what he was talking about. He goes, I will tell all. And I think Kendall realized that and got nice. And our CFO, Carl's.
Here's the other thing, too. Don't you think they're kind of squeezing Shiv out of the picture?
Of course they are. And the message is it's a good old boy network.
And she's cozying up to Mattson, so she's going to – he's going to throw a wrench into their plans.
She's going to get burned, though. I think Mattson's using her. Yeah, you're my eyes, you're my ears. And then she goes, you know, I'm going to tell my brothers everything we've talked about, which was a lie. She's keeping those cards. She's got to hang on to those cards. And she and Tom are dysfunctional. They're going to get back together. And, you know, and he is the biggest parasite on that show.
Tom is?
Just a parasite. What does he have? At least Greg has got family money. But what does Tom have if he gets let go?
He's tall.
That's about it.
He dresses well. I say, hey, you need to watch The Diplomat. That's my new favorite show. I've already watched the whole first season.
Oh, my God. You've been.
Well, kind of have been. I don't like to binge. So check out The Diplomat on Netflix. Only 8 shows. And then hopefully they're going to come back to 2. Kerry Russell from The Americans is the star.
Kerry Russell from Felicity.
Yeah, it's a little bit West Wing.
I like West Wing.
Oh, yeah. It's terrific. And all you out there in viewer land, The Diplomat is the thing to watch.
Are you getting kickbacks from Netflix for hyping up The Diplomat, Duck?
I should get it for free. I really should. Can we write this off?
I don't know. We can find out. We can
never heard that is.
But the good news is you're back up and running.
Yeah.
We are 3 episodes away from 300. We need to start planning our 300th show. Wow. We need to get a couple of big names that can pop in for a couple of minutes each. And
like James Corden and have Harry Styles on and Will Ferrell, people like
get
that.
Get Adele. We can do carpool karaoke. If James Corden can get those big names, I don't know why we can't.
We made a swing for the fences. Go get a Herb Street or Feinbaum or Jim Nance or who knows.
And that's not swinging for the fences because we've had those guys, Brent Musburger.
Yeah, they're probably blocking us now.
They don't remember us. But we're gonna get to work on it. We're going to have a special edition. A special 300th episode is coming up. And it's going to be boss because we always bring that We bring that hot sauce to you every week on Second Thought, and nothing's going to change in that respect. So we're going to shut this thing down. We appreciate Matt Miller's patience. We tried to get Duck. We tried to get Duck on with Matt Miller. And maybe Matt Miller has Kirk Bowles blocked. We don't know, but we'll find out. But he wasn't able to get on. I hope I did well in his stead. Guess what? I did. So, but I don't want to make that a habit. But we'd like to thank you for joining us for episode 297. Thanks to Matt Miller. And for the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Seth Golden. We'll catch you next time.
Be safe.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.